Hello again, folks. This is Lyndon Davis with yet in our series of Debt Dominoes. And that is the series where we look at debt and how to handle it, avoid it, manage it, get rid of it, all kinds of things with debt. But in this segment, we'll be looking at the second part in debt avoidance. Now, we all know that debt is a serious thing. We've mentioned this before. And it can be real difficult to get out of debt once you've gotten into debt. But what's even better than getting out of debt? Yeah, avoiding debt in the first place. And that's what we'll be looking into today as we talk to you about debt avoidance, how to not get into debt in the first place. Now, much of what will be delivered to you today is taken from my book. It's called Air Supply, How to Financially Breathe Easier. So, let's do it! A swimmer can exert great effort and energy to navigate the English Channel, or an Olympic-sized pool, in an attempt to complete her goal. Arms and legs powering her forward, slicing through the water, heading toward eventual success. With all that energy being expended, the one commodity that must be replenished continually throughout the excursion is air. Food? She can eat once she's done. Massage therapy and rest for aching muscles? Not while kicking and stroking. How long can she go if she is to only exhale carbon dioxide and never inhale? Or what if she just held her breath? Can she go seconds? Minutes at most? Air must be continually replenished in order for her to succeed. Occupying the foremost slot on the pursuit to avoiding debt is income. Think about it, folks. If you have nothing coming in, how can you pay for anything? Let's face it, you cannot avoid debt if you spend money without having any money coming in. Continually putting out without replenishing that money base is the very essence of debt. I don't have, therefore I spend. If you do know a way to spend without having any income of any sort, folks, I'd love to learn that trick. Income is to debt avoidance what the replenishing of air is to the swimmer. Even with the vast amounts of air within the walls of the cells in the body, new air, income if you will, must be inhaled for the body to properly function. If the cells of the body could be compared to a storeroom, without income, even a well-stocked warehouse will eventually run dry. Consider mom's pantry. There's crackers and peanut butter and bread and cookies and soup and macaroni and cereal and fruit and fruit snacks and on and on and on and on and on. Mom's got it going on. And we come in and we snack and dine and even feast in mom's pantry. Yet, if there's not a trip or two to the grocery store, our snacking and dining will soon cease. Job, employment, side hustle, what have you. Income is basic to translating your desire to avoid debt to the reality of avoiding debt. So, secure that income. So what's next? Too much month left at the end of the money? Spending money before you've earned it? That's debt personified. Feel like you're having an out-of-money experience? Or you are so financially challenged that you can't afford to pay attention? Consider the numerous business failures that occur each and every year. One finds that the issue lies not so much with the revenue or income, but with poor management, whether it be money, resources, or equipment. As a long-distance runner manages breathing of air to effectively complete the race, so you must manage your financial air, money that is, to effectively complete the marathon that is your life. A budget, the dreaded B word, is the indispensable tool that regulates your breathing as you course along the path towards your goals. As you may have already surmised, a budget is that apparatus that gives life and meaning to the SMART goals that you've identified and seek to achieve. In concept, a budget, it's not sexy. It's not razzle-dazzle. It's not enjoyably stimulating. And it's certainly not a highly anticipated feature in the process of handling and managing money. But many construe budgets as metaphorically constricting of the lungs or the shrinking of the capillaries or any other circumstance or device that restricts airflow. I feel so chained. I can't spend my money because he wants me to stick to a budget. I feel as if I can't be me because I've got to stay within this budget. Yeah, people feel constricted. They feel constrained. They feel pressed down. But in actuality, your budget, when properly used, is an endless tank of pure financial oxygen, which not only sustains your life, but also provides a boost of energy. Your budget is what allows you to make practical, that is, the realization of your goals, what heretofore has been theoretical, that is, the hope that you can achieve your goals. To form and stick to a budget requires some behavior modification and attitude adjustment, none of which is an easy endeavor. Again, akin to the long-distance runner, the initial training was unpleasant and difficult. Yet in time, and not a whole lot of time of that, the body adjusts to the new mindset and discipline. Running 26.2 miles is no longer a pain or drudgery, but challenging and exhilarating. Your budget can have the same effect, folks, not just on your financial air supply, but also on your physical body. A budget is comprised of two basic elements, income and expenses. Expenses are further divided between three large sections, fixed, variable, and occasional. Now, some may conclude that too little income, say that of a part-time job or high school work or some kind of thing where you're getting paid, babysitting, whatever it might be, or exorbitant income, that is, that of a hedge fund manager, those two, the part-timer, the high schooler, the babysitter, the hedge fund manager, that neither of those with small income or large income, they do not need to budget. But folks, that would be imprudent. Both rich and poor alike benefit from a budget. The well-to-do and the will-be-well-to-do benefit from a budget. The same is true for the upper, middle, lower, working, and no-class handler of money. A properly developed and implemented budget has the following benefits. First, you've heard of the dirty dozen? Well, we'll consider these the decent dozen, because we're going to go through 12 benefits of following a budget. So, here we go. Number one, it gives you control over your money. A budget is a way of being intentional about the way you spend and save your money. You control your money and not your money controlling you. Budgeting saves you the stress of suddenly having to adjust to a lack of funds because you didn't initially plan on how to spend those funds. When you know where your money is going, you're less likely to worry about unexpected expenses or running out of money. This can lead to a sense of peace of mind and financial security. I have the money to do what I want, honey. Yes, budgeting helps you decide if you want to sacrifice the short term in favor of the long term. When you budget, it's all laid out in front of you, and you get to control where it goes. That is the first benefit of budgeting. Number two, keeps your eyes on the prize. What does that mean? Well, how many times have you gotten sidetracked in your effort to lose weight? I mean, you go to a gathering, you know, telling yourself that, I'm just gonna have maybe a drink of water and just a small piece of fruit. You go there telling yourself that, but then you end up having the entire dessert section and just about drain the punch bowl all by yourself. That's because you took your eyes off the prize, that prize of a slimmer, trimmer you, in favor of the delicacies in front of you now. You took your eyes off that prize because of the deliciousness and the delicacy of those desserts that you just had to have right now. With a budget, you avoid spending unnecessarily on items and services now that do not contribute to attaining your financial goals, whether now or in the future. With a budget, you get rid of the instant gratification. I've got to have it now. Because you're keeping your eyes on the prize. What is it that I'm hoping to have later? So, keep your eyes on the prize with a budget. Now, we've gone through a couple of advantages of making and sticking to a budget, and there's still more to come. But first, you know the Chinese billionaire is known to say, spending money is much more difficult than making money. But of course, as a billionaire, one can imagine that you'll run out of things to buy before you run out of money. But for the rest of us, the reverse is true. Making money is much more difficult than spending money. Thus, it is wise to adopt the mindset of the diligent. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 in the American King James Version states, "See a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. Be diligent in earning and prudent in spending." So we looked at a couple of things already. You know, we looked at how a budget can give you control over your money, and we also looked at keeping your eyes on the prize. What is it that you hope to obtain by implementing a budget in the first place? And that's just part of the decent dozen. There are 10 more steps to go, so let's continue on. Number 3, a budget makes you aware of what is going on with your money. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. That may be good for monkeys, but it is terrible for you. With your budget, you become clear on what money is coming in, how fast it's going out, and where it's going to. It also tells you what is important to you based on how you allocate your funds and how your money is working for you. Folks, don't monkey around. Be aware of what's happening with your money. Number 4, a budget helps you organize your spending and your savings. By dividing your money into categories of expenditures and savings, a budget makes you aware of which category of expenditure takes which portion of your money. Think of it this way. When you have an understanding that you are spending too much, let's say in miscellaneous items, your budget will help you organize that so that perhaps you emphasize less on miscellaneous and more, say, to groceries or to the kids' education. So that way, it's easier for you to make adjustments, as you can imagine. So a budget helps you organize your spending as well as your savings. The same thing that can happen with the miscellaneous that we just talked about, you can do the same for savings. If you come to realize, you know what, I'm not putting enough into savings, you can reorganize your budget so that more money is allocated towards savings. In fact, later in or in another segment, we're actually going to talk about getting that money into savings first rather than waiting and then doing it after you've allocated to other categories. Number 5. A budget makes you decide in advance how your money will work for you. What is the old saying? Plan the work and then work the plan. This old proverb serves to effectively manage money via the budgeting process. Your budget is the plan. Your allocating, your spending is the work. So plan the work and then work the plan. Number 6. A budget enables you to save for expected, and get this, and unexpected costs. Yeah, you can save for the expected as well as the unexpected. Emergencies will come, folks, and they will come unexpectedly. I mean, think about it. If they were planned, they would not be called an emergency. While the emergency is not planned, what is planned is you setting aside money for when that emergency shows up. And they will show up. So a budget allows you to save for the expected. I know we're going on vacation. I know Christmas is coming, a birthday, an anniversary, whatever it might be. I know it's coming. I am going to plan for it. But it also helps you plan for the unexpected. Number 7. A budget enables you to communicate with your significant other or others about money. If you share your money with your spouse, family, relative, or anyone, a budget can communicate how your money is being utilized. This promotes teamwork on working for common financial goals and reduces conflict. Yes, conflict on how money is used. Now, many of you are listening and saying, "Woo, is conflict ever always present whenever money comes up?" Yeah, a budget might actually help you reduce all that conflict. Why? Because budgeting also teaches family members spending responsibility and accountability. A budget communicates with them, and it also helps to teach them, as well as you, responsibility and accountability. Number 8 on the list. A budget provides you with an early warning for potential problems. Now, some of you will remember this. Many of you may not. But for those of you that do, remember during the Cold War, there was a communication network made up of more than 60 manned radar installations that extended about 3,000 miles from northwestern Alaska to the eastern Baffin Island. It was set up to provide advance notice in case of hostile aircrafts or ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, launched by the Soviet Union to attack the U.S. or Canada. It was named, you remember, Distant Early Warning. Well, when you budget and take a big picture view, you will see potential money problems in advance and be able to make adjustments before the hostile expense appears or properly manage the ICBM, and in this case, it means the inconsiderate, careless, ballistic money problem, if it indeed materializes. Your budget serves then as a distant early warning to potential issues that may cause damage to your finances. Number 9. A budget enables you to produce extra money. Really, if a budget can actually help me make more money, why doesn't everybody do it? Well, it's not like you got a printing press in the basement and it's called budget and you just hit the button and all of a sudden money gets printed out, just gets spilt out onto the floor. Nah, it's not that production of money we're talking about here. In budgeting, you get to identify and eliminate unnecessary outflows like late fees, penalties, and interest. That's where you get the extra money from. You're paying out on stuff you don't need to. So as the beaver builds the dam over time, so will your savings in this area build up over time. Extra money. Number 10, a budget leads to a happier retirement. Now, some cynical people say, "I may not live to see retirement. I need my money now. I may never get to the age of 65 or 75 or 80. I may die before then." Well, folks, if that's true, your problems are solved. You ain't got no problem whatsoever. Your business is fixed. The real issue is you do live to 65, 75, or 85 or more, and you don't have a secure retirement. Now talk to me about a problem, huh? You set aside a portion of your earnings each month to contribute to your IRA, 401k, 457, SEP, or other retirement funds, and you'll eventually build a nice nest egg that gives you confidence. There's that word, confidence, as you head into retirement. Otherwise, you'll find yourself depending on family, friends, and the federal government for your sustenance. How do you like that as a picture of retirement? Number 11, we're getting near the end here, folks. Number 11, a budget identifies bad habits. Building a budget forces you to take a closer look at your spending habits. Are you spending money on things you don't need? Do you honestly watch all 500 channels on your premium cable plan? Who does that? And if you do, what does that say about you? How many of those 50 pairs of blue jeans can you wear at one time? Budgeting gives that pause in the action to your spending, to those spending habits, to refocus your attention on your financial goals. A budget identifies bad habits. Number 12, drum roll please. A budget gives you a sense of accomplishment. Yay! Yippee! When you reach your financial goals, you feel a sense of accomplishment. I did it! I finally got there! I did what I set out to do. That is accomplishment. Now, this can boost your self-confidence. If you did it in this area that you didn't think would ever, ever, ever come, perhaps you could do it in that other area, like losing weight. You can perhaps do it in some other area, like finishing the garage. All those things that you've been putting off because of this reason, that, whatever it might be. When you complete your budget, you definitely have a sense of accomplishment. Your money's more ordered and structured. Your finances are lined up properly. And you can pat yourself on the back, give your shoulder blade a good workout there by slapping yourself on the back, because you did it. Now, folks, these are just a few of the many benefits of budgeting. If you take the time, you'll see there's a whole host of other things that come into play when you think about how budgeting fits into your financial lifestyle. Now, if you're currently not budgeting, I encourage you to give it a try. Think of all the benefits. Think of all the benefits that we just mentioned. It can be a great way to improve your financial health and reach your financial goals. So we're going to just sum it up again. The decent dozen. The decent dozen starts with: a budget gives you control over your money. A budget keeps your eyes on the prize. A budget makes you aware of what is going on with your money. A budget helps you organize your spending and your savings. It makes you decide in advance how your money will work for you. It enables you to save for expected and unexpected costs. It enables you to communicate with your significant others about money, and it also drives responsibility and accountability. It provides you with an early warning for potential problems. It enables you to produce extra money, no, not the money printing press, but avoiding things that you don't have to spend on. It leads to a happier retirement. It identifies bad habits. And last of all, a budget gives you a sense of accomplishment. But just like we've mentioned in previous segments, this sense of accomplishment can only come about if you actually do the work. Budgeting is the planning part. Executing is the doing part. That is, spending according to the plan. That's the doing part. Now, folks, there exists a plethora of manual, digital, and online budgeting tools. So because of that, I'm not going to take the time to delve into which one is better or more cost-effective. A quick online search can actually yield you numerous sites, numerous books, and other resources that you can make available to yourself if you wanted to go deeper into the budgeting thing. Of course, you can always reach out to me. You know, the Strong Tower will have my contact information that you can present your questions, send me an email, and I'd be happy to address those and get back to you. But the point is, we want you to avoid debt in the first place. That's the whole purpose behind this particular segment. You know, getting into debt is, you know, it's a difficult thing. Debt itself is a very hard thing. And when you think about getting out of it, it can seem oh so daunting. It can seem oh so overwhelming. So we put together this series so that you can recognize that you can avoid debt in the first place. You can avoid debt by budgeting your monies so that you have a solid understanding of where your money goes before you get to the spending piece. So, in conclusion, I want to leave you with this item to remember. When it comes to debt, you ought to remember these two things. First, the Bible says to avoid all types of personal debt, no matter what clever terms are used to describe it. This is due to the master-servant bondage nature that is inherent to debt, as Proverbs 22 verse 7 tells us. The second thing to remember is that if you feel compelled to take on debt, let it be the debt of love, as Romans 13 verse 8 instructs us. Well, folks, we've come to the end of this segment, Debt Avoidance Part 2, in our Debt Domino series. This is Lyndon Davis thanking you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you in yet another segment. Take care, and God bless.